Anybody ever seen the movie My Girl? That is from the movie My Girl, out in 1991, way before any of you were out. Stupid joke. But that was a movie I watched when I was about your age. And even watching that clip, it stirs up this little pot of emotions that are inside of you that sometimes they're not there. But then when you see a scene like that, you start to think, I want a girl to like ask me if I've ever kissed anyone and then say maybe we should try. That would be fun. That's kind of an easy way to get a little kiss. She would just say, have you ever kissed anybody? I said, no. She said, you want to try? Go, okay, I'll close my eyes. And then she makes me do it. That would be really fun. And I would have a little relationship there. That is something that all of us, at one point in your life, you will desire, if you haven't already. Now, for me, it started when I was much younger than the age I was when I watched that movie, which I was about 12 years old when I watched that movie. For me, starting as early as I can remember, specifically in first grade, I remember having a crush on a girl. Do you guys remember having elementary school crushes on anybody? Raise your hand. So mine, put up my first grade yearbook. I actually have all of my yearbooks. You can see me. I'm not on the very bottom row. I'm on the left side, second row up on the inside there. That's a little David Peniel. Got a little blonde hair. Yeah. Did you see it? See me? There's David. I'm not wearing glasses, okay? But here was the thing about being in Mrs. Holmes' first grade class, all right? Mrs. Holmes' first grade class got a page in the yearbook next to Mrs. Harper's second grade class. Let me just tell you, I was an ambitious young man when I was in first grade. I didn't have a crush on a first grader. I had a crush on a second grader. Oh, yeah. The flyest girl in school, Christy Lanning. Now, Christy Lanning is on the inside of the class next to me. So that when you close the yearbook, Christy and I's faces touch each other's. I was very excited about this in first grade. Literally, I was showing everyone, look, when you close the yearbook, I kiss Christy Lanning. Open it, close it. And I would just sit at home going, hey, Christy, how's it going? Mm-hmm. Oh, you like that? Mm-hmm. Want to kiss some more? Mm-hmm. I'm now Facebook friends with her. That's really awkward that I'm saying this. But ever since I was in first grade, I had this desire to be connected, to have a companion in my life. And not just a companion like a friend, like, you know, the guy next to me, Kent Norris, or Travis Sousa, or Wade Chamberlain, or any of my other guy friends in that class. No, I wanted a companion that was female. And for some reason, I felt like I was hardwired for that. Nobody had to tell me that I was supposed to think Christy Lanning was cute and feel different things about her than I felt for Travis Sousa. All right? Look at Travis Sousa. He's right there on the bottom. Not that attractive, right? But Christy, oh yeah, she was good looking. And so I had this desire for romance and companionship, and I did not want to be lonely. And so just put up the slide for this series here. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about how nobody wants to be lonely. I mean, nobody in this room would say, I want to be alone all of my life, forever. Like, I don't even want friends. If I could just be in solitary confinement, that would be great. No, God has wired us with a desire for companionship and even romance. All right, in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, when God made Adam and Eve, let's put on the screen what he said. God said this, it's not good for the man, for Adam, to be alone, so I'll make him a helper, a companion. So even in creation, God created us to not be alone and to not be lonely. And I know that all of you in this room, none of you want to be lonely. Nobody wants to be lonely. You want to have friends, but eventually, or starting in first grade like me, you're going to want a little romance. You're going to want, guys, you're going to want a girl to notice you and to be your friend and to be more than a friend. And girls, you're going to want a guy to notice you and to pay you special attention and to make you feel special. There's something different about guys and girls and the dynamics that happen that is really special. And here's what's different about it. God created it. God made it that way. He has wired us to be attracted to each other like that and to have a desire for that. Nobody wants to be lonely. But what we're going to talk about when it comes to romance, all right, guys liking girls, girls liking guys, is three things in the next 3 weeks. Who finds godly romance? When do you find godly romance? And how do you find godly romance? Now, from now on, I'm saying godly romance. I'm not saying worldly romance. I'm not saying Hollywood romance. I'm not saying the school halls romance, text message romance. I'm saying godly romance. Because God created it, God designed it, God has a plan for it. And let me just tell you, it is good because I'm older and I've experienced both the world's and God's. And I want to tell you, you got to find godly romance. You got to follow the playbook of the Creator. A few things from that video earlier. The Bible is the mind of God. It's the happiness of believers. It's to make you wise, safe, holy, give you light, give you food, give you comfort. It's your map, your compass, your sword. It's paradise opened up for you. It's the way to heaven. It is for our good and God's glory. It should fill your memory, rule your heart, guide your feet. It will give you wealth and health and pleasure. You should pray it in, read it through, live it out, pass it on. You should seek godly romance from God's word. All right? I want to live that way. But here's the thing. You've got some obstacles to romance in your life. All right? When you're in junior high, there are three major obstacles. So nobody wants to be lonely, but you've got some barriers to finding godly romance or romance, period. And here they are. Just put them up on the screen and I'll briefly talk about them. One is this. You're not allowed. All right? How many parents tell you you're not allowed to have a boyfriend or girlfriend? Raise your hand. Be honest. Raise them up. Look around. It's like a majority, like half or more. Okay? So one obstacle is this. You are not allowed to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Number two, you're not attractive enough to get one. Hey, I'm just saying. Yes, I know, not you. Okay, I'm so, look at my hair. Here's the deal, man. Sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, tenth grade. I wanted a girlfriend like nobody's business. And my parents didn't care, but I was 4 foot nothing. I couldn't get one. All the girls were a foot, literally 1 foot taller than me. Or more. And I wanted a girlfriend, but I could not get one. I was always the guy friend that they would tell me who they like and ask me to go tell them. And so that was the role that I played. I hated it. At least I got to talk to girls, though. But I couldn't have a girlfriend. So one obstacle is this, you're not allowed. Another one is, you're just not attracted. You're not attracting anybody, right? Girls, you don't have guys asking you out all the time. Guys, you'd like to, but they don't pay any attention to you. Or when you say, hey, would you find out if so-and-so would ever go out with me? They come out, no, she would never go out with you. Okay, cool. And then the third obstacle is this. Maybe you've tried it. Girls, maybe you've had a boyfriend. Guys, maybe you've had a girlfriend. And guess what? You've tried it, and it's not that great. It's really not that cool. It's not what you see in the movies. It's not what's on TV. It's not what they sing about in the songs. It's not what your friends have experienced. You go out with a guy and he has no idea what to do, what to say, and it's just not that fun. And then you end up kind of, embarrassed, or you hurt their feelings, and friend groups break up, or rumors go around all the school, and you've tried it, and it's just not that great. And so there's some barriers there, and I'm not saying that these will stop everyone, but if you're trying to find romance or godly romance in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, you've got to get over these hurdles, right? I mean, one of them is, hey, it's just a rule, you can't do it. One of them is you're just having trouble connecting, or you're connecting with people, and it's just not that. It doesn't seem like that's what God would give us. It's just not that cool. And so what I want to do is I'm not going to hit these head on, but I'm going to talk to you about the who, the when, and the how of godly romance. And maybe you can learn something, but I'm going to stick your face right in God's word. And so what I want to make sure that you're hearing this morning is this. You're not hearing David Peniel's opinion. You're not hearing your small group leader's opinion. You're hearing God's word. All right? And I'm going to tell you how you can be a person that will find godly romance, because nobody wants to be lonely. And if you will listen to what I'm teaching you from God's Word, you will have all those things described in that video. You will have healthy relationships. You'll find comfort and peace. It'll be a map. It'll be light. You'll be wise. You'll be safe. You'll be holy. So listen to what I say. This is very simple. I'm going to give you three qualities of the person that finds godly romance. And so you try to figure out, how do I have these qualities in my life? All right, who will find godly romance? All right, I promise you, nobody put a knife to my throat and told me I had to say this. But this is what God's Word says. You ready? Here we go. Number one, the person who can talk to their parents about it. If you are a person that can talk to your parents about the guy you like or the girl you like, you're one step closer to being the person that can find godly romance. Here's the deal. When I was beginning to date my wife, I was 25 years old. A 25-year-old, I have a mature enough understanding of the world and relationship with my parents that I could talk to my parents and about my desire to date and get engaged to and marry Allie. I mean, there's a lot of dialogue there because it was serious and it was real. When I was your age and I was trying to go out with Allison Moore and Brittany Bailey and Ashley Starr and all the people that I liked when I was your age, I got so mad one time. I was telling my friend who I liked. He was spending the night at my house and we were in the room. And, who do you like? Oh, I like her. And my parents were standing outside my door listening. Next day, I'm in the car. My mom's like, so, heard you like Kimberly. I'm like, how do you know that? Oh, standing outside your door. I'm going to punch you. That's what a door is for. But you know, like, when I was your age, I did not want to talk to my parents about it. Listen to what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say it again. If you are not mature enough to have ongoing conversations with your parents about romance, then you're not mature enough for romance. If you're not mature enough to talk to your parents about who you like and who they are, and what you're going to do when you like each other, then you're not mature enough to do it. Here's what the Bible says, Proverbs 1:8. These are all from the book of Proverbs written by the wisest man who ever lived. My child, you listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. If your parents have told you that you're too young to date, you listen. That's how you find godly romance. You be the person that can talk to your parents about it, and then you listen, and you don't neglect it. You obey it, and you honor it. Sorry to rain on your parade. That's just how it is in God's Word. David Peniel's not saying it. God is. Proverbs 13:1. I'm not just pulling one verse out of context. It's all over. A wise child accepts a parent's discipline. A mocker refuses to listen to correction. Your parents are going to correct your course a million times along the road. All right? You're going to go out of line and they're going to correct it. A wise person listens to that and accepts that. Proverbs 19:27, it keeps going. If you stop listening to instruction, my child, you will turn your back on knowledge. You want to know how to be the person who finds godly romance? Number one, you talk to your parents about it. If you're not ready to talk to your parents about it, that's fine. I don't blame you. When I was your age, I didn't want to talk to my parents about it. It was awkward. It made me just want to scratch myself and throw up. I didn't want to talk to my parents about who I liked. So you know what I should have done? I should have said, you know what? If I can't talk to my parents about it, then I'm not mature enough to do it. And so I just need to back off. So if you feel like, hey, I've got a good relationship with my parents, we can talk to them about anything, I'm going to tell them every time I like a guy, or guys, I'm going to tell them every time I like a girl, and we're going to talk about what that means and what I should do and how I should handle it and all that, and I'm ready to accept their instruction, then go for it. God gives you the green light to go to the second thing I'm going to tell you about the person who finds godly romance, and that's that. The person who finds godly romance is the person who has wise friends to give them advice. I didn't say friends to give them advice. I said wise friends to give them advice. Are your friends wise? Or are they knuckleheads just like you? Think about it, because a lot of y'all are idiots. It's true. These guys are like, yeah, we're morons. No. Hey, you're not. You're not. But listen, listen. You know people that make bad decisions. You know people that have had failed romantic relationships. If those are the people you're going to for advice, you are not a wise person. So, who finds godly romance? The person who can talk to their parents? The person who has wise friends to give them advice? Proverbs 12:15. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Don't be a fool. Don't ever date anybody until you talk to your parents about it and until you talk to wise friends about it. That's why we put you in stinking small groups, people. It's so you have people to talk to about things that happen in your life. And so, girls, if there's a guy that's asking you out or a guy that you like, you need to go to your small group and say, hey, guys, listen, let's get the giggles out of the way. I've got a crush on this person. They've got a crush on me. I've talked to my parents about it. We're thinking about this. We're thinking about that. We're going to the movies. We're whatever. And they can go, let's give you some advice. Proverbs 15:22. This was a memory minute verse. Plans go wrong for a lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. I want you to think about how many junior high relationships you know of that have been successful. Successful. Just a few. Just a few. You can probably think of a few, but I bet you can think of a lot more that were unsuccessful. You know why? Because people don't talk to their parents about it, and they don't seek advice from wise friends. Proverbs 19:20 says this, get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. All right? That's what your small group leaders are for too. Say, hey, I'm trying to get as much advice as I can. I'm trying to get as much as instruction as I can. I want to find godly romance. I don't want to be lonely. I have these desires. So give me some advice. Help me out. This is God's word. All right? Who will find godly romance? The person who can talk to their parents about it, the person who has wise friends who give advice, and the person who follows God above their own heart. This is where we get ourselves into a ton of trouble. You can trick your parents. You know it, and I know it. You can trick your friends. You can even trick yourself. You can follow your own desires with such enthusiasm and such fervor because your desires are so strong and so powerful to have that Macaulay Culkin, Anna Chlumsky moment under the tree, to have that first kiss, to hold hands, to slow dance, to have somebody to text message you after midnight with all the little emoticons. You can do that so much that you can emoji. Is it emoticon or emoji? Layoff, I'm old. You can trick people and you can justify your own way. You got to make sure you're a person that is seeking God more than anything else, even your own heart. Jeremiah 17:9, the prophet Jeremiah says this about the human heart. Listen carefully and read these words. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. Your own heart is deceitful. It's a liar. And your heart is desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? You've got to understand this. This is one of the main messages of the Bible, is that we are wicked, deceitful, fallen sinners. We're bad news. We can't trust ourselves. We can't trust our own heart. That's why we need God. That's why He sent Jesus. That's why He's given us His Word. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this about trusting God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust your own emotions and your own feelings and your own desires. They are not trustworthy. Your feelings are real, and I get how powerful they are, but they're not always reliable. Did you hear that? Your feelings are real, and it's great to feel all this strong emotion, but they're not always reliable to follow. So you trust in the Lord. He's reliable. Don't depend on your own understanding because it's wicked. But seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. You got to seek God. 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 Matthew 6:33-34 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So you don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today is enough trouble of its own. So you don't worry about who you're going to marry or who you're going to date. You just seek God. You trust Him. Your own heart is deceitful and wicked. So in summary, who's going to find godly romance? The person who can talk to their parents, the person who has wise friends who give them advice, and the person who follows God's heart above their own heart. Talk to your leaders about this and ask them if it's true. This is what you're going to talk about at your small group this week. I promise you, for me and my wife and all of our community group, these things are true. I have a great marriage and I have a great relationship, and it is very romantic. It might make you uncomfortable to hear, but it's everything that I ever wanted. But you know what? I was a person, by the time I was older and a little bit more mature, who could talk to my folks about it. Wise, older people. I had friends all around me who were wise, and I sought as much instruction as I could get. And then I was seeking God more than I was seeking my wife, more than I was seeking the fulfillment of my own desires. I was seeking Him first. I'm telling you, man, if you guys follow God's word, you will be a person who will find godly romance. If you don't, you're headed for disaster. Nobody wants to be lonely, but you're going to end up backfiring. And you're going to enter into relationships. If you don't talk to your parents, if you don't seek advice, if you don't seek God, you're going to go ahead and find romance, but it's going to end. It's going to be cut off. It's going to crash and it's going to burn. And you're going to be more lonely than you were before. I promise you that. No one is more lonely than the person who just got dumped. The person who's never had a date is lonely, but the person who just got dumped is even lonelier than that. I'm giving you warnings, and I've given you a lot of God's word. So here's your application. Here's what I want you to walk out of this room and do. Easy, three things. Talk to your parents, talk to your small groups, and seek God first. If you can't go out of this room and get in the car with your parents and say, guess what? We talked about godly romance. I've got a crush on this person. What's your advice, parents? First of all, their brains would explode. And you'd have to like clean that all up. But then, but if you can't handle that, then you're not ready to find godly romance. All right? You're not. Next week, we're going to talk about when. It's a great question. When should I start dating? We're going to talk about when a good time is next week. And I hope you're all here and bring your friends and all that. So let me pray and we'll get out of here. Lord, I just thank You for Your word and the way it is a light and a lamp for our path, and it just guides us where to go. I thank You that it promises to give us life and blessing. And I just pray that everyone in this room would trust it. And Lord, I pray that You would help me as I teach it and help these small group leaders as they teach it. I pray that You'd help them to model it. I pray that You would help each of us to find godly romance in the way that You intended. And if it is not Your will for us to do that now or ever, I pray that You would satisfy us with Your nearness and a relationship with You that fulfills all of our desires. In Jesus' name.